Hey Geekscapists, welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, if this is your first Geekscape, and what we do is we talk about pop culture on Geekscape. We like to talk to storytellers, whether they come from movies, video games, comic books, TV, the whole pop culture spectrum. And I like to sit down with them one-on-one and talk about how they got into telling stories, what kind of stories they tell, what, I guess, corner of the pop culture world they come from. And sometimes they're my friends, and I have known them for years, and sometimes I meet them on this very show. If you guys go back on the podcast, I've had some pretty awesome episodes. My friend Chris Mancini explained to me how to do a nonfiction book proposal last time. That was kind of cool. Chris has been a longtime fan. If you guys are in Los Angeles, we're going to be at, is it the Telegraph Theater in Koreatown? We're going to be there for the final Comedy Film Nerd show that's on December 12th. We're doing a live show, and Chris is nice enough to have me be part of the live show. So if you are in Los Angeles on December 12th, go to comedyfilmnerds.com and get your tickets for that. Before that, Rob Paulsen, who's an amazing voice actor, was on the show. And then before that, we had Chris Cluey, ex-NFL Vikings kicker, was on to talk about competitive gaming and how it compares to being a professional athlete. So this episode is no different, except I've known this guy a long time. For those of you who watch Legends of Tomorrow on the CW, you might recognize my good friend Adam Seckman. Adam, we've known each other a long time.
Yes, we have.
Did we know each other when we went to Penn as undergrad?
I don't think we did. I feel like I was maybe introduced to you at the end of my tenure. But
you would have been a junior. I would have been a senior.
Yeah. So then
you were a year behind me.
Yeah. That's right.
But did you go? Do you grow up in Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
And so you went
Winnipeg
from,
and then Toronto.
So Winnipeg and then you went to.
Do you know where Winnipeg is?
Winnipeg is cold. okay. Here.
Classic
I'm gonna,
no, America.
No, I'm gonna
I guess
guess.
Winnipeg's
I'm gonna
a
guess.
Harder one.
I'm gonna guess. Here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
I know where Calgary is, the fucking ass crack, kind of western middle of that whole thing. I know because Brett the Hitman Hart's from Calgary.
That's right.
Okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Calgary's in what province? Your podcast is turned into a Canadian
geography. No, I got this. Not only is Calgary where Brett the Hitman Hart is from, but there's some Geekscapists from Calgary, including our good friend Fushna. From the forums.
What's up, Fushna?
Okay, here we go. I got this. Winnipeg is just west of Toronto, I would say. If you're going sequentially west, Winnipeg would be the next province. Do you guys only have like 8 provinces or something?
First of all, it's not a province. But
what is it?
It's territory? The capital city of a province. There's a hockey team there, the Winnipeg Jets. There's
right, no,
the
but Winnipeg is like the next... what is it?
Province.
It's the
yes, that's correct.
It's the next province over.
From
the,
which province?
From the one Toronto's in.
Yeah.
Ontario.
That's right, yeah.
And so it's the next one over, and
yes.
But it is the capital of the province known as something unpronounceable to someone who likes the sun. What is the province that Winnipeg
Manitoba.
Is? Manitoba.
No,
there
the
you
thing
go.
Is Saskatchewan is the
no,
one.
No, Saskatchewan is like north.
It's west.
It's west,
of
but
Manitoba.
It's, yeah.
Winnipeg, the closest cities,
Let's put it in American terms.
North Dakota. North Dakota, Minnesota. That's where Winnipeg is.
Okay.
Just north of that.
Dude, that's pretty damn west and pretty damn cold.
It's super.
But that's
cold.
Also where the invasion begins.
Maybe, but it's also the place that has there's a lot of lakes, so there's a lot of fresh water.
Well,
so once climate change
takes
over. If
you're north of Minnesota, I guess you are full of lakes.
Full of lakes, mosquitoes.
Okay, mosquitoes.
Horrible mosquitoes.
Ice mosquitoes?
No,
I know. I've been to Canada in the summer. It's nice.
Those are like breeding grounds. It's just mosquito orgies in all those lakes.
Minnesota's not... Minnesota. I've never actually been to
Minnesota. The capital of mosquito orgies. You didn't know?
Canada's nice in the summer. I do like Canada in the summer. But I'm learning something, Geekscapist, and I hope that you're learning something, too. So, Adam, we went to Penn together, although we were in separate gangs, I'm guessing, at this point.
Totally.
We didn't cross paths until your junior year.
Separate nerd gangs.
And then, as fate would have it, did you go directly to Columbia after undergrad?
No, I then decided not to be, because I majored in finance. I went to Wharton. So I decided not to go into banking. I had a job offer at Lehman Brothers, which no longer exists. And I was like, I'm going to be an actor. And so
That was 2002?
Yeah.
And you, what, Wait, your parents, you go to Penn, you go to Wharton, which is a phenomenal business school, unless you're a Trump, and then it's pointless and you're just whatever.
Who also went to school with us when we were there.
I know, but we're not going to hold that against, we're not going to hold that against you or me. That was, I don't know what the hell
I hold it against you, though, but I will hold it against myself.
Yeah, well, you're the one that was in classes with the dickhead. Okay, so you're there at Wharton.
Yes.
And then did your parents expect you to then go into finance? Was it something like, we're like, Adam, you're going to come out of here and you're going to go into finance?
No, they knew that I was like falling in love with acting while studying finance.
How did that happen?
So I there were these, you know, at Penn, they have all these theater groups.
That I avoided like the plague.
Okay, so but they have all these like off-campus theater troupes.
Yes.
They had Mask and Wig was one that I was very jealous of and wanted to be a part of. It's like an all-men.
Could you sing? Can you sing?
I'm not trained to sing, but I feel like, yeah, I could pull off a tune.
But it wasn't that the linchpin there with Mask and Wig was that it was a singing comedy troupe?
Yeah, you had to be able to, but it wasn't like you to be able to like play the piano and sing.
There was a lot of a cappella, and that's where I was like, no, nope,
but
not
that was
do
those
it.
Were different groups.
Right. Okay,
but so, anyway, I would go to see shows and I would always feel very like jealous. I'm like, fuck, I'd love to be on stage. This would be amazing. So a friend of mine said to me, that I should come and audition for her theater company that she's a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So the one, this company is called Teatrone, okay? And the one weird thing about this theater company is, weird thing. Well, it's not a weird thing, it just was their corner, was it was specifically for Orthodox Jews, meaning that they didn't rehearse or perform on the Sabbath.
So
no shows Friday night, which was
so she had her pick of about like 80% of the population of Penn.
Yeah, it's a very, right. So there are many Jews that went to Penn, yes, and me being one of them. But anyway, I went to this audition. I auditioned. They finally brought everyone in a room together, and they said, "Look, we like all of you guys. Here's the problem: the play that we're doing this season, Neil Simon's Fools, requires the lead male and female to kiss." Who's willing to kiss a member of the opposite sex?
Because it's Orthodox.
Right. And yeah. I was the only one who put up my hand. And they're like, great, you're the lead.
Well, wait, so you're Orthodox Jew?
No, I'm like a Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld
right,
Jew.
Right, a Gentile. Wait, but I thought the troupe was Orthodox.
No, it wasn't like only for Orthodox, but it was for Orthodox that wanted to do theater but couldn't do theater in theaters that require them to perform and rehearse on the Sabbath.
Oh, you were aces at that point. You're like...
Yeah, it was like, I went to Wharton, so I already thought about the mathematical probability of getting the lead in any other show, and I thought, this was my best chance. And,
Were you popular with the ladies at Penn? Was college a... college a tough time?
It was a tough time, and you know, it was... From my brain now, I feel like, why was it a tough time? I was just nervous to talk to girls.
Agreed.
And it's like, yeah. At this age, I'm like, what was I doing? It was so
we weren't doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Just not doing anything proactive.
In my case, I remember spending weekend nights completely in the radio station, which, yeah. No surprise, you're listening to this Geekscapist. It was birthed there. I was in one theatrical performance of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas because I was walking down the street one day and... a girl who thought I was funny, I don't remember her name or anything, but she thought I was funny from a class, stopped me on the street, and they needed somebody to fill in on Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
She didn't even know you? She just found you funny and charming?
She found me funny in class, and she said, we need somebody. Can you sing? And I said, no. And they said, okay, well, it's a musical. And I said, okay, well, and they said, we really need somebody. So I remember joining Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, being given a role, like I had quite a few lines and I was part of a chorus and I had to audition sing, and I remember a girl who was definitely into singing and definitely into this stuff. She stopped me, she said, can you try and sing in tune? And I said, absolutely not. Like, lady, I'm not supposed to be here.
Wow.
I'm just funny. And that's the only reason you guys have me is because I'm funny and I'm going to tell some jokes when you guys forget your fucking lines. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, there were times when people forgot their lines. And
well, sure.
The ad-libs came quick and fun. But I had no business being in a musical. That was sophomore year. I remember that. But that was...
And that was your only time after that?
No audition, no nothing. No, I mean, if you go to film school, I guess you have to be in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
of course,
you have to be in your films, like your friends' films and stuff. Like, but no, acting is not my deal. But
well,
it came to you.
You're better behind the camera.
I don't know if I'm any better behind the camera.
Least
dangerous. He's least dangerous when you don't look at him. So you
got into it. So I don't know what you're coming at me with.
So your libido got you into this play.
No, just I mean, yes, but well, an interesting fact about this play: the woman who played my mother in the play was religious, and every time during rehearsal, I would come up to her and I would say like "Mama, Mama," and while I would do that, I would put my hand on her shoulder. Geekscapers, I'm touching Jonathan London now.
Yeah.
I'm touching his shoulder.
Okay,
how hot is that? Anyway. I would touch her shoulder and say, Mama, Mama. Finally, someone came up to me and said, hey, Adam, Miriam's dad, he's a rabbi. He's coming to the show. It's probably better if you don't touch her. And I was like, oh, shit.
But that was part of the role. Or had you ad-libbed the motion?
I ad-libbed the motion. That was just, yeah.
Got it.
I just thought, you know, mother and son were
we'll be familial.
Feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I asked her, I said, Miriam, I can't touch you. And she's like, wow. You know, it's better if you don't, but, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. So, you know, there was a beautiful mixture of...
Was it just for that night?
Devious Jews like me and religious.
Well, was it just that night that you had to not ad-lib the motion? Do you had to watch it?
No, that was during rehearsals, so I just
changed. Didn't do it at all?
Yeah, I didn't do it at all.
Oh, man, it would have been fucking hilarious.
To do it while her dad was there?
The only time you do
you
let the guard down, and then, like, her dad shows up, and you're, like, tainted paw. You, like, touch her. What happens if you touch her? I know nothing. Well,
nothing.
No, she doesn't burst into flames, but, like...
Yeah.
Like, is there a religious...
Some religious Jews adhere to no physical touch until marriage between men.
So you would have gotten married if you would have touched her on stage.
The act of touching doesn't cause us to be married, but that would be interesting. Suddenly it happened, and like, I was like, where the fuck did this ring come from?
You're like, Mama. And he's like, well, I guess he just purchased my daughter.
a touch and three cows. He's
like, I will give you the rest of the dowry after the culmination of the play. He just throws a bag of coins on the stage whenever you guys are doing the curtain.
Oh, man.
Like, you could have married this woman by ad-libbing.
By your warped sense of the culture, yes, absolutely.
Shows what I know. If this is your first Geekscape, Geekscape is so far so bad.
Get Geekscaping.
After Penn, like that
is
one.
Is it like escape from geekdom, or is it... Or
no,
do you,
I think it's like exploring the landscape, exploring the whole thing. Yeah, remember Farscape, the TV show Farscape on Sci-Fi Channel? It was the first like Sci-Fi Channel show. It's my favorite Sci-Fi.
It was the first Sci-Fi Channel.
I think it was it was before Stargate, and it was like before Stargate. It was the Henson Company. They shot it in Australia.
Really?
It's got Muppets.
They use
in space.
Muppets. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Wow, it's cool. Visually amazing, it's my favorite Sci-Fi. And so I was like, what do we name it? Oh, let's go with Geekscape. Because we kind of explore out into the whole ethos
of geekdom.
We explore all of it. So you had the bug.
Yeah.
Now that you had the bug, and you're like, this is how I kiss girls.
Yeah.
I found a way to kiss girls and ad-lib touching girls. Now you're like, this acting thing is for me.
Yeah.
Is that what led you into it?
Yeah.
No, get the fuck out of here. You didn't do anything in high school? I mean, did you
guys... A little bit of drama. There was a drama class, but we didn't have, like, big shows or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was...
Big school? Small school?
It was a small high school in Toronto.
Uh-huh. And you guys were just, like, putting on small...
In that school, actually, tell you a couple interesting things about that school.
Yeah.
First of all, everyone called their teachers by their first name.
What?
There was no Mr. and Mrs.
Right.
It was Scott, Phil, Tracy. The principal's name was Wayne. Okay.
Even know their last names?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you would never call them by their last
name.
When you walk into the school, they would have a bulletin board at the front with the top 100 names in grade point average. And then if you walk around, you would see every student in the school and every class they take and all of their grades in every class was visible to everybody at the school.
Wait.
Isn't that crazy?
How is that possible?
It was awesome. It was like being in the NBA. I was like, I got to get on the board. Got to get top on the board.
It worked.
For me, it worked.
Because today it would be like, okay, I have a rifle, and now I know where they're hiding.
Well, you would know, like, Jimmy gets 57 on... No, but I mean, it would be more like other students be like, oh, shit, Jimmy's having a tough time. He's averaging, right, like, a 52 or whatever.
But now everybody's kind of privacy, like...
Obsessed,
and especially with people...
Ironically, especially because they're not on their phones.
Especially with people going into, like, high schools with guns and stuff. We had Scott Thompson.
Yeah, but we're not... But Canadians are not dealing with that like Americans are.
Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall was on the show.
Love Scott Thompson.
2 months ago.
Yeah.
And he had a school shooting in 1976 when he was in school.
Really?
Yeah, you guys started this.
Please. Don't
play. Scott Thompson.
It's bad everywhere. But
no, that's not true.
No, I mean, it's definitely better in Canada than the U.S. It's not a concern for Canadian students like it is for American students.
Right. I was just making a point.
But...
That Scott Thompson came on this show and he talked about the trauma he had when he was like 17, 16 years old.
I didn't even know that he was in that.
Dude, isn't that insane?
Wild.
And that was in freaking your Toronto. Province.
I think it's from Toronto, right?
He is from Toronto.
Yeah.
Is he? I don't know. Go back and listen to the episode, Geekscape.
I think he is.
It's a great episode. He was awesome.
He's
and he
amazing.
Came in and just talked. It was pretty amazing having him on the show.
Stand up like earlier this year is fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. He did his buddy Guy or Guy, his character and everything. He's amazing.
Yeah.
So after school, how was that? How difficult was that? You said that you did not go straight to grad school
I tried to like get into acting in Toronto, not knowing anything. I did a couple short films and then I was like, I don't really understand anything. I need to like learn theater.
Did you move back in with your parents or what did you do? What was that like?
It was fine. I get along well with my parents. It was good. Yeah, it was
well,
really...
I got to say, like, in 2002...
My parents have been I have to be very grateful. My parents treated my decision like... With total support, I'm so fortunate that they reacted that
fortunate
way.
Fortunate is the word, because you know that could have gone otherwise.
For sure. It should have. Like,
right.
Like, you have a job where you can earn a lot of money coming right out of school. You're saying no to be an actor, the most insecure field of them all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're going to enable it.
Yeah, exactly.
How long did you were you home?
A year.
A year. Well, that's not bad.
No.
It's not enough to, like, grow rust, right? Like,
no, I didn't have any rust. Like, you mean?
I mean, like staying there. Like, staying there.
Oh,
and it's I think it's time.
Exactly.
I think you've kind of overextended your stay here, son.
Right. Right. Yeah. Never, thankfully, got to that.
It could have gotten sour.
Oh, yeah.
What were you doing in Toronto? I mean, were you like, I just did another short
taking
film.
Classes, trying to audition for things, getting headshots, like learning about like what does an actor have to do? I have to like had to try to get an agent, like all that stuff that takes time. Stuff takes forever.
What was the hardest period of that year that you spent back in Toronto?
Just like not being able to create opportunities.
Does it take a community to be able to do that?
Sure.
And that is what the time is you have to meet people in the community.
Absolutely.
To establish those connections. What was even the scene in Toronto? Because obviously, you're already in Philadelphia when you come to Penn. New York would be the spot, I thought.
Totally.
I thought you would go to New York and do that whole deal. Toronto seems like, did you consciously choose... Maybe what you thought would be a smaller pool to kind of make your name in before you moved on to maybe New York or Los Angeles. Was that a conscious decision or was it, hey, I've got a place to crash. This is a risk. I mean, did you give yourself like a timeline? Like if this doesn't happen in 2-3 years, if this isn't in an upward trajectory, I'm pulling the plug.
So I think, I'm not sure why I chose Toronto. Probably just because my parents were happy to have me there. I had a place to crash.
Sure.
All
good, easy decisions.
Yes,
like, going
to
New York. Smart decisions.
Yeah, going to New York is better for building the community. But Toronto's got a great community, but I didn't even, being there for a year, I did not have enough time to create that community. I did a little bit, and there are one of my closest friends now is a producer that I met that first year. We did this really shitty short film called The Stud Factory.
Is it on YouTube?
I don't think it is. It should be. It's.
I want to see it. The good stuff, I don't want to see. The shitty stuff. Yeah.
Let's pull Stud up. Factory.
Let's do a movie night.
All right. For sure. We'll do it.
So, and that was a short film?
It was a short film.
Okay.
And yeah, my friend's name is Ali, and he's producing things right now. We produced a a pilot that me and my writing partner wrote called Americanistan. One of the leads, Mina Massoud, in our pilot is now Aladdin. So
it's pretty amazing.
It is beautiful.
So talk to me again. Like, the hardest part was you didn't really have anything to hold on to beyond having a roof over your head and some form of stability on a familial place.
Yes.
But professionally, you never gave yourself a timeline to say, hey.
No. Every time people would ask me, I heard that question a lot, and mm-hmm. I was always like, it's absurd to give yourself a timeline, because I feel like in this business, what if I gave myself another 2 days, and
yeah,
then I had the opportunity in 2 days?
You hear the stories.
If I give up, it's because I feel like I'm done with it. If I feel like I'm done with it, fine, I'm done. But to say like, oh, I need like 3 years and 3 months, and if nothing, I think it's good every year to analyze, okay, what am I doing that's positive,
course
that's
correct.
Progressive, you know?
Yeah, I always think that whatever you choose is some series of course corrections, not really any kind of... You can make drastic moves, but, I mean, who cares? Like, who knows if a left or a right is anything that you
gotta... That's right,
It just says, it's a crapshoot. We're scratching lotto tickets for a living.
Totally.
Like, we're like, oh, maybe this lotto ticket that I'm scratching is the one that's gonna turn up. And you just don't even think about it. It's what you want to do. You follow your passions and you're done.
Exactly. Well said.
Yet you're not on autopilot.
No, I mean, you can't be, because no one's handing you anything.
So what ended up getting you out of Toronto? Describe, how long was Toronto?
A year.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided to apply to theater schools. Mm-hmm. So I applied to like UCSD, Juilliard, no, not Juilliard, because they didn't have an MFA, Yale, NYU, Columbia, and maybe Carnegie Mellon, I don't know, one other.
Why was an MFA important?
It wasn't, actually.
I mean, you'd already had your bachelor's.
Yeah, I already had my bachelor's. It seemed weird to apply for a school that didn't offer a master's, but ultimately, what is the difference? There's no, I mean, whatever,
no.
It's all,
no,
it's just
a proud owner of another MFA.
A diploma, yeah, it doesn't, but, so the only school I got into was Columbia,
I got into USC in Columbia.
You got into USC, yeah?
But they waitlisted me, so I got to taste Columbia, and I could decide to stay or go, and I stayed.
It's beautiful. Yeah. What was your major?
Film.
Yeah.
Went to the grad school.
But how stupid is this? I still am very annoyed at Columbia for this, that they actively tried to dissuade actors from working with the filmmakers. And it made no sense. We just talked about community.
Mm-hmm.
Columbia did a terrible job of building a community, assuming that you can't approach this business that theater is one thing and film is one thing.
No.
It's all one thing.
Because you guys are the ones we would have used.
Of course.
And it was, how long is the program?
3 years.
Was Thomas Hilton still there?
Thomas Hilton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that guy.
Yeah, great guy.
I want to make him a Bond villain.
Yeah, he'd be
like,
awesome.
Like, isn't he an awesome Bond villain?
Totally.
He's such a cool dude. And
great guy.
I remember using Thomas, though.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sure some actors did it, but there should have been like a collaboration class that like the filmmakers and the theater actors make a film at the end of the year.
Yes. Considering we have like really great graduates.
Yes.
And you guys had really talented actors.
Yeah,
it would have been
shocking to me.
Yeah, that seems like the kind of symbiotic relationship that needed to happen. And we're in the same building, right? You guys were in the same Dodge Hall, whatever it was. Like,
we were mostly in the basement of this on 116th and Broadway, this like student residence. They had two black box theaters
In
the basement. Yeah, very weird.
We were
but
in
all
the
executives,
theater, yeah.
All the teachers would have offices at Dodge Hall.
Yeah, and that's where I was.
Yeah, that's where you were. We didn't have classes there.
Dude, I pumped so many... This is what I remember from film school, besides making really bad movies while I was there. I spent so much money on the Gauntlet Legends arcade machine that was in that arcade over there.
Really? Which arcade? I can't even think.
Okay, so... you know, what's the glass building? You know that glass building that's over by the library? And it's got like a... This is so interesting for Geekscape. I just want to get
I know. But, guys, cobblestone
walk? It's where Peter Venkman has his offices in Ghostbusters.
Cool. Ooh, good save.
But in Ghostbusters, I just remember it's like where they thought... I mean, it's like where they established Peter Venkman would have had his offices in Ghostbusters. But in reality,
there was
a commissary. It's got the student bookstore. It's got all that stuff. There was an arcade on the second or third floor, there was an arcade. And I just remember pumping quarters into Crazy Taxi and Gauntlet Legends over and over again.
How much, look, what are we talking about? How much money do you think you're spending in one sitting at the arcade? We're talking like $10?
Yeah, about $10 to $15, yeah.
And would you go there
in quarters
every day?
No.
Three times a week?
Yeah. Let's go three
45
times a
bucks a week?
It's not something a grad student should be doing.
We're talking $200 a month.
We're talking
$2,400 a year you're spending on.
I think what
there's
I think what we're talking, Adam. I think what we're talking is addiction.
It's a month of rent you could have had.
But keep in mind, I don't drink alcohol. So that's what I wasn't spending it on.
Okay.
So people are like, hey, man, want to come get loaded and all that stuff? And I'm like, no, man, I'm getting loaded.
Getting loaded on Crazy Taxi. Bro, get over here and come. Check it out.
I mean, it
this road is crazy.
That's what I remember from grad school. I mean,
people crossing the street, I have to avoid them.
Well, I don't feel like I started making films until I moved to L.A. I moved to L.A. in 03, right before you got there.
Right, exactly.
So we did not overlap.
We didn't have a chance to develop that Columbia community. But speaking of Columbia community, by the way, I have Columbia to thank purely for Legends of Tomorrow. The only reason I'm on Legends of Tomorrow is because of Columbia.
Why?
Because I went to a student alumni, like an an alumni Christmas party in LA. I met a friend of mine, Grania. We met there. She's a writer and producer on Legends. And like a year and a half after I met her, she called me one day and she's like, Adam, we're working on this new character for Legends. I think you'd be good. I contacted the casting director for you to submit a tape.
Well,
it's three episodes. We don't know if it's any more.
And what's the character's name?
Gary Green.
Gary Green.
Just like your cool shirt, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shirt.
I'm wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt. Geeks Gabus. Don't think
Michelangelo.
Don't think that I only turn it on when the mic turns on.
Yeah, he lives it.
This is, bros and gals. I bleed this geek green.
He's got a geeky Garmin watch.
And you
track
even,
his steps.
Did you see my Thor socks?
Woo, right. Baby! Yeah.
You didn't even see my underwear, but you will.
Can't wait.
People are like,
I do see your Spider-Man pillow.
I like how, you know, new listeners who are like, hey, I like Legends of Tomorrow. I'll give this podcast a try. They're like, well, yeah, they're too comfortable with each other. You know what? I feel icky. CW is going to call and be like, you know what? Can you guys not release this? Can you pull the episode, please? We did not get approval.
I don't know. Maybe Spider-Man will give approval.
So before Gary Green.
Yes.
What was going on there? You had done Americanistan and like that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, I just, I would get acting jobs every now and again, playing various terrorists and bad guys with accents.
For real?
Yeah. But I love those. I love playing those roles. I have no, like, I enjoy
You're playing bad guys or like you're the hacker? What were you doing?
I'm like usually the Eastern European, like mafioso, like bad guy with, you know, strong accent. You know, sometimes I would speak Russian or I'd be like the, you know, the Israeli guy, hey, you need help, you come. You know, like that kind of, all those guys. I'd have more facial hair. I'd always be bearded and I'd be some foreigner, Ivan or Vladimir.
You gotta love that
Moti
post 9/11 casting.
Yeah.
What America wants right now is catharsis, and we're gonna deliver it in the most racist form possible.
The more international conflict, the better it is for my career.
Well, I remember our mutual friend Mark Brunswick telling me,
"All hail Mark Brunswick."
I just remember him saying like, "Hey, Adam's really like working a lot right now." And I was like, you got to thank George W. But what was that? I mean, it was like a period of a long time that you're playing these characters.
Yeah. Look, again, we talked about numbers before. It's all numbers. There are hundreds of thousands of actors in this business, and there are low thousands of roles, you know?
Right.
So the fact that I was able to do accents and can speak a little bit of Russian and a little bit of Hebrew and a little bit of French, you know, like it's just, okay, great. There's only a smaller group of actors that can do that.
Right.
So those are the opportunities I was getting more of and happily doing them.
Like,
but obviously
it beats Toronto.
Just, you know, it's a job on a TV show. It's great. It's very fortunate. Even that is hard to get. But deep down, I always veered more towards comedy. I always wanted to do comedy.
But that, so when you're writing, say, like, Americanistan, which is like a bit of a parody, not a parody, it's how would you describe it? It was almost, it was a commentary.
Yeah.
So did you put some of these frustrations into that script? I mean, it was a comedy. It was a bit of a, this is what's going on. This is where I see myself. What was it about?
No, not frustrations. Just, you know, the Middle East has been mired in conflict forever, but there's a lot of hilarity to be explored right. in the Middle East. So we want to me and my writing partner and our producer wanted to just have fun with the fish out of water concept. You have Westerners coming to a fictional Middle Eastern dictatorship. There's a lot of shit they're going to have to deal with that they're not used to coming from, you know, England and the USA.
Sure.
So I'm always turned on by cultural misunderstanding.
Sure.
I think it's always a fun well to explore. And I think, sadly, we are all very overly sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so this type of show becomes slightly problematic because everyone is so fearful of the backlash.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard, no, you can't do that?
Yeah, and it's why? I'm on the right team. I just want to be funny. There's funny shit that...
South Park gets to do it every fucking
day. Yeah, exactly. And they're amazing. I love South Park.
So, come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
How many times have you been told no for that kind of stuff? Because I remember my thesis out of Columbia was Gay by Dawn, my short film about rednecks being afraid of getting turned gay, and it was like a horror movie.
That's hilarious.
And it was like, you can't make that now. You could make that in 2005. You can't make that now. And I'm like, why not? Woke culture, you know? And I have nothing against woke culture. I have nothing against people being cool with each other.
Absolutely.
But this is... art, and I think art needs to break things.
Well, is you're trying to be funny? Is it funny? If it's funny, then
it's funny. And that should just be the litmus test.
Yes, of course.
But do you think people are afraid to laugh? I mean, when you have something like Todd Phillips, and he's remember what Todd Phillips says when the Joker was coming out, that woke culture has kind of killed comedy. You can't make comedy today. And of course, there's an uproar because you can absolutely make comedy today.
Of course, but it is more challenging. And maybe veering culture that way is. I mean, not maybe, for sure it is better for culture to be more aware, but, the backlash is ridiculous.
Not to bring it back to the Scott Thompson interview, but Scott said something in Geekscapists. I don't know if he said this on the air or not, so you'd have to listen to the episode, or those of you who've listened to the episode, but he may have said this when... we are no longer recording, so I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway, because Scott is a very, he wouldn't have censored himself, but he says, you know what, 9/11, they absolutely won, because they killed New York City, they killed that art culture, they killed that culture of being brave with your art, you know, mm-hmm. And in a way, when we started becoming hypersensitive or started becoming fearful of the reaction to our art or to our messages or... really to the thing that is most American, that freedom of speech that mm-hmm. we protect.
Sure.
When we started becoming fearful of that, then that's when you realize that the war on terror was lost in a way, because you're fearful and it's affected art, and art is the center of our culture.
Mm, interesting.
So there was an argument, and I just remember, whether he said it on the show or not, said it on the show, I do remember him telling me that 9/11 killed art in New York. At least, or it killed culture, and now you have a very expensive Disneyland.
No, right, as far as New York City. New York still has culture. Come on, that's ridiculous. Amazing theater in New York.
If you listen to the episode, you'll see that.
Okay,
the man is killed. The man is opinionated, and we love him. But I want people to come on here to speak their opinion, and he definitely did.
Absolutely.
I find it tough because I think that. We still want to be funny. Was Americanistan successful? Was that something that...
No, we shot it ourselves, did it ourselves.
How long ago was that?
And then realized we don't have... I didn't have, lit representation, neither did my writing partner.
What year was that?
It was 2013, 14?
Okay.
14. 14 or 15?
Got it.
3-4 years ago.
So you couldn't get anybody to look at it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Shit. If a tree falls in the woods. Right.
Yeah, it's part of it is, the strategy is okay, make your own stuff because no one's going to make something for you, which is great. But then when you have something, you still need to have a community.
At least a publicist or something. Yeah. The whole point of building Geekscape was that I have somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, Geekscapist, but the artistic thing that, that Adam's talking about, it's lonely as fuck.
Yeah, sure.
When you're trying to communicate with people and there's nothing but doors and walls being slammed.
For sure.
You know? So
absolutely. And it is mostly doors and walls, and it is for everyone.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, it is for everyone. But it becomes lonely, and you just need your outlets, and
totally.
Hopefully you can plant a seed and grow it. And
of course,
whatever you think of Geekscape, it's at least the audience that's listening to me and my stuff, and
absolutely.
You know, and that's worth something.
Of course.
But I find it very frustrating that to make something and pour something into something for years, because it takes you years.
Fuck yeah, it does.
And then at the tail end of it, your reward is, or silence.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing with it now?
Our producer is still pushing it hard, which is great. We've, you know, me and my writing partner redid the whole Bible of the show. I think it's, I'm a big fan of it, but I recognize that we'll see. It's risky.
Yeah. But being Canadian doesn't help you guys on the production end. It has to. I mean, Canada has those tax incentives, and everyone wants a Canadian producer.
Yeah, but if it's like a TV show, you ultimately need, like, you can't make a TV show independently, you know?
Right.
If we decide to make a movie, you know, maybe we'll do that at one point, but I think this could be a great, just like, workplace comedy.
Yeah, everybody's begging for co-productions. You know,
true.
The conversation, we made a movie in Brazil a few years ago. We're in talks to do more stuff in Brazil.
Amazing.
And now Mexico is the conversation. Is people want a co-production between Mexico and Brazil. No one wants to actually make stuff in America because we don't have that co-production fund.
Of course.
And our tax incentives are out of control.
Yeah.
Are they out of control? I don't know. There seems to be more stuff coming back to LA. But
in
comparison to the foreign money.
I shoot Legends in Vancouver,
right?
Which Vancouver is absolutely crushing it. There's so much production in Vancouver. It is insane.
Every block, you see these damn trucks.
It's unbelievable.
You either see a heroin addict or trucks.
Well, look, I mean, the city is gorgeous. They have so many different, like,
cultures. And it's amazing. Yeah,
you can really, like, Vancouver can substitute for many, many places.
Yes.
Easily. So
I just, one thing that did shock me was the amount of drug use I saw there. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You guys have socialized healthcare. Like, why?
Yeah, because the government provides clean needles for drug addicts because they don't want, and
good idea. You don't want an epidemic.
And also, they don't want there to be, look, I have no solution. I'm by no means an expert. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm
but
not going to demean you because you're an actor, but please solve this social crisis.
Yes. Let me get to the bottom. This is, first, I'll do the Middle East peace process, and then I'll solve drug addiction.
Jared Kushner, you haven't tried getting American Afghanistan to Jared Kushner for the solutions it provides to this very sensitive.
I mean, talking about community, I'm sure he's very well connected. We could get our show done. So if you have his number.
Well, Geekscape is who are listening for the Legends of Tomorrow conversation. Let's get to it because I'm just fascinated by the American Afghanistan stuff. That's like a struggle that I know. I love that struggle and I love that story. And it's like, I do love the Berlanti shows. I think they're awesome, but you're part of a juggernaut, and I'm like, okay, cool. You're part of a juggernaut.
Yeah,
I want to hear.
Very
about,
grateful.
I want to hear
to
about.
Part of
I want to hear about you being the juggernaut. So the American Afghanistan,
just
is
like
cool.
The Toronto Raptors, right. Another juggernaut. I'm happy to be a big fan of that as well. Sorry, go ahead.
It's not a bad one-off year. It was cool. Yeah, it was a good. It was a good year. It's not bad. Thanks for derailing the conversation.
Yeah, sorry.
Wait. Geekscape just yanked their headphones off because they're like, sports, can't do it. They're like, don't talk about sports. Before the show, we just watched a basketball game. it was how I get Adam onto the show. Is, hey, man, you want to watch basketball?
Yeah, that's my...
And maybe we can watch...
That's my dog treat.
Maybe we can record a little Geekscape afterwards.
And I did it with pleasure.
We did it. So
happy to be here.
Talk about...
Legends of Tomorrow.
That you go over a year and a half later, you audition for this role of Gary Green.
Gary Green.
And what the hell? Like,
and thankfully it's
three
stuck.
Episodes.
I was able to hang on to those three episodes, and they, I guess they liked what I was doing, and I was grateful that they kept giving me more to do.
Well, do they like it? Obviously they like it, but at what point does the fan reaction kick in? Like, are you a fan? Are you a popular character? Are you like somebody who like you go to the conventions and they want to get the autographs?
I haven't been to any conventions yet,
what?
Except for Comic-Con.
What was the last time you went to Comic-Con?
I only went once 2 years ago, and it was amazing.
So, Adam, if I were to say this summer, 2020,
yeah,
you could be a guest at the Geekscape booth at Comic-Con. Would you like to come down?
That'd be juicy. I'd love to come down, yeah.
It's in July. Let me know if when you're shooting. And then come down and take the train down, hang out at the Geekscape booth, maybe shake some hands, and then that's it. I would love to have you as my guest.
Thank you very much.
If it works with the schedule, I'd love to have you as a guest.
Hopefully, Legends didn't go this year as a show.
Doesn't matter. You can come.
I can come, regardless.
Come down and hang out, and people would be like, is that Gary Green? That'd be cool.
That would be beautiful. I'd love to be there.
Do you think that obviously your friend who you met at the alumni party, like, saw something in you. Did you agree?
Very grateful for that. Thank you, Grania.
Thank you, Grania. Do you think that it, was the character immediately, keep in mind, I have not watched since season one.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Season one is a very different show.
Yes.
Like, and I remember watching the show and just seeing how it would piece together and be like, okay, well, they're finding it. Guggenheim's finding it. It's getting there, you know? And I like Guggenheim.
It's awesome.
It's getting there. But what I did hear is that season two is the one where you're like, you know what? Let's just kind of cut loose and go crazy and make this kind of a crazy
and then show. Season three even more and season four even more.
Has it become kind of the popular show over there as far as the DC-verse goes and the Berlanti stuff?
Yes. I think, like, I've heard that writers of the other shows are jealous of, they want to be on Legends because it's like, literally, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, they figure out, but really, the storylines are bonkers and hilarious and just anything goes, which is so fun as an actor to be able to do that.
Are you a fan of the material beforehand? Or, like,
I watched a few episodes, but I wasn't aware of the material beforehand.
Were you a comic book fan?
Not really.
So Geekscapers think you were a fake, and you will leave now.
Yeah, not into comic books. Not into comic books.
Just fake it. You're an actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love comic books.
Oh, I like that episode where the issue and the thing.
I like the Marvel 27, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, The Adventure. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? The Star Brand Reborn?
Geekscapist, what he's doing now is he's looking at comic books in my room.
Actually, no, you know what I did read growing up?
You're doing what the actor
ElfQuest
does.
Don't
fuck with me.
ElfQuest, the final quest? It was crazy because
Geekscapist, he is literally just naming comic books with an eyesight in my room. Do you like my... Do you want a comic book recommendation? To give you more cred, would you like
sure.
me to send you home with a comic book?
Yeah, I want I'd like something a little...
Cerebral?
Give me a rated R.
Something cerebral?
Doesn't have to be cerebral. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, I want the narrative to be not too avant-garde. Give me narrative.
I'll find you some stuff.
Give me some hard narrative.
Okay, we'll find you some stuff.
Thank you.
I mean, there's so many
good... I trust
good,
you.
The DC stuff is... I don't read a lot of DC anymore. I'm sorry, Geekscapists, who are DC fans. But
DC for life. I have a tattoo.
But I'm a Marvel guy, and I've dipped into...
I've heard of it.
I've dipped into DC quite a bit. I mean, I read a lot of comics. But I'm probably going to recommend you some indie titles as well.
Love it.
Okay? Something like Ed Brubaker's Criminal or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll find you some good stuff. Some crime books.
Ooh.
You like some good crime books or maybe some real weird sci-fi stuff. I'll find you some cool stuff. Okay, so you get on the show. Did you have to do research? Did you want to familiarize yourself with, like, all these characters? Did you know what the hell was going on? Were you like, okay, this guy flies and this person
zips
around?
Yeah, yeah, I knew what was going on.
That's a dude with genetic weirdo stuff?
Yeah, a bit, but I mean, the research when I, like, for the audition was just working on the material. Mm-hmm. And I really treated the material as a comedy. I mean, the audition process, the taping process.
So when you walk into the audition...
I taped it. I didn't do it in person.
Crazy.
Yeah, recorded the audition.
As an actor, do you feel like you're kind of at a disadvantage when you're taping?
I feel that way, yes.
There's no energy, nobody to play off
but,
of,
but
there's
the
no
thing
reaction.
Is, now, I mean, you could sort of perfect it a little more on tape, but I'm a social creature by nature, and I like connecting socially with people, and I think that's important, especially in an industry where so many people are crazy. You can get a sense for if is this person.
You got to be able to read a room, you know, and be like, is this working? Is it not working?
Yeah, I want an opportunity to use emotional intelligence,
right?
And you just don't get to do that on a tape. But you get to make a tape look real sexy, better than it looks in the room. And a lot of the executives and showrunners, they're not in the room, so
did
they're
you
watching
add special tape. Effects to your tape?
I did.
You were like, let me put this through After
explosions.
Effects.
I actually.
You taped an episode.
We had a VFX nipple crawl across screen. For those Legends fans, they will know what I'm talking about.
That's incredible.
In season 4, I have my nipple bitten off by a magical unicorn that's actually from hell. The nipple goes to hell and then gets brought back. Someone gives me my nipple back, and it is an evil nipple that then hypnotizes everybody in the office. That's Legends of Tomorrow, my man.
I gotta watch this
show.
Check
it out.
Now, if that was a comic book, I'd be reading that one. I'd be reading that comic. That sounds good. That sounds like some good stuff.
Jonathan London is deeply into
nipple. Okay, so you get
play.
The tape.
Yes.
They like the tape. They like the digital nipple that you totally did not do.
They like.
So you like the tape.
They like the tape.
You then get called in.
Yes.
How many times?
No. They like the tape, but the job is yours.
Get the hell out of here.
I had no
callback. What are you talking about?
I had no callback because partially...
Were they up against the wall or what?
No, I think Grania was like... Grania showed Phil Klemmer, who's the showrunner, mm-hmm. the tape, and he said, yeah, that's the guy, and that was it.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds...
Very fortunate.
But, I mean, keep in mind, it was just like a co-star.
But hold
like
on.
Like a guest
role.
So it was
totally.
Only three episodes.
And
right.
So
that worked for you.
And I'm Canadian.
Okay.
And I worked as a local.
So, you're cheap.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, you're cheap.
Let's go back to the Wharton. Again, it's numbers. Give them every opportunity to say yes.
Yes. So that worked for you. And then they're
for
like,
sure.
Wait a minute. We like this guy.
And we're getting him for cheap.
Okay, like a 22 episode. How many episodes are there in a season? Like 13?
The first season was 18. The second season was 16. And this season is 15.
How many of the episodes are you in a season?
I was in 9 of 18 in the first, and then 13 of 16 last year, and now I'll be in 11 of 15 this year.
They should just rename the show, like Gary Green and Friends.
The Chronicles of Gary Green.
It's a lot. But you're not in this whole... I don't know if you can talk about... Like, are you in crisis? Are you not in crisis? Can we talk about crisis?
I don't know. I probably shouldn't.
You're in
shouldn't.
The first crisis-ish... thing.
I was in the crossover last year, yeah.
That crossover with Flash and Arrow.
We were like,
what are you hitting your phone? I think you're playing a podcast.
Podcast
just
came on.
Just played a podcast, not this podcast. he leaned on his phone and started playing a podcast. And I was like, is that Geekscape? No, it's not Geekscape. You are rude.
Totally Geekscape. I'm
rude
talking
to me.
About my love of ElfQuest.
Dude, have you read an ElfQuest? I'm
no.
not sending you home with ElfQuest. ElfQuest is a little too much of a deep cut for
a
noob. You're a noob.
Yeah, totally noob.
So you were telling me that you were the only here Legends of Tomorrow actor in the Arrow Flash crossover.
Last year.
Yeah, last year.
Legends was not... So the crossover last year was Flash, Arrow...
Right.
Supergirl and... Black, no, not Black.
I don't
Lightning.
Think it was
what
Black.
What was the
Lightning.
Fourth one? It wasn't Batwoman because that started this year.
It was Led. Was it? I think was it just those three shows or was it Legends?
No, Legends wasn't part of it last year.
So it was Flash, Arrow, and Cross. And
I guess it was a 3-hour. Yeah, maybe it was just 3-hour. But anyway, I was part of that. Mm-hmm. Thankfully,
they're like he's the glue that keeps it together.
Actually, I found out that it was a writer. Her name is Nikki. I don't remember her last name, but she's a writer on Supergirl. Who was a big fan of Gary Green and just pushed to get Gary in the Supergirl part of the crossover.
Okay, so I'm a noob, and there are some Geekscapes who are noobs to it, because, again, I only watched season one. I watched several of the seasons of the other shows, right? But Legends, I was going through some life stuff.
It's okay. We're happy to have you anytime.
I'm going to catch up.
Legends of Tomorrow, available on Netflix, seasons 1 through 4.
Oh, I'm watching that.
Season 5 starts January 21st.
I'm watching it. I'm going to catch right up. Do I need to watch all the Flashes and the Arrows and stuff like that? Because I think I'm up to a couple seasons in on both of those, but not caught up.
No, just watch Legends.
What about you Supergirl? Our friend Phil Lamar was in Supergirl.
Great, then watch Supergirl too.
I like Supergirl.
Watch it.
Okay,
enjoy it.
So does Gary Green have superpowers?
No. Gary Green has...
Like an everyman.
He's the guy who's bad at his job... Always screwing up. No one understands how he's around.
You're telling me that the fans like this? That they see
But he's also... Yeah, he's clumsy. He's bad at doing things.
Why would
but
the fans also, like that?
Because he's looking for love. He has so much love to give, and he wants love returned. But so far, he hasn't quite found his match.
You're telling me that the fans relate to this character?
Absolutely. We all are looking for love, Jonathan.
I'm being facetious. Of course they relate to this character. So you're playing the audience.
I'm playing the audience, yes.
You're definitely playing me as I'm watching the show. I'm like, oh, well, I like that guy. He sucks at everything like I do.
Gary's the guy who, when the shit hits the fan and everyone's turning into steel and starts flying, he's the guy who's like hiding under the bed.
He's like Rick Jones in the Avengers. You wouldn't get that reference because you're a noob. Do not hit your phone again.
But
you're going to hit your phone again and you're going to play a podcast on the Geekscape.
Where we talk about Avengers number 27.
That's a new issue. If you want to get the deep cuts, they're in the boxes in my storage unit.
Ooh, oh, you have a Comic-Con cool bag.
Do you want it? Dude, when you come to Comic-Con this summer at the Geekscape booth, we can give you one of those oversized bags.
My experience at Comic-Con, Legends did a panel, and I wasn't like officially part of it because I'm not a regular on the show. So I wasn't part of any of the stuff they had to do, but while they were on the panel, they talked about a character that the audience loved in the end of season 4 and in the middle of season 4 named, season 3, named Bebo. Bebo is this Tickle Me Elmo blue thing that saved the world at the end of season 3.
Yeah.
So spoilers. So they talked about, oh, this one character that Bebo, and so I walked on stage wearing a mascot Bebo costume, started hugging the different
cast members,
then sat down, started answering questions as Bebo, and then one of the cast members was like, who's that? I recognize that. And then I had the fun. It was great. It was really
but you
fun.
Didn't play Bebo in the episodes.
No, Bebo was like, first he was a doll
tiny,
in one episode,
yeah.
And then another episode he turns into like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and ends up squeezing to death the bad guy demon and cuddling him to death with love. They all disappear in blue fluff.
I can see why this is like the fan show.
Yeah,
this
show is bonkers.
This show's hilarious.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's amazing. Do they have Bebo merchandise?
So that's what's crazy. The fans have created Bebo merchandise.
Of course, because...
But not the show.
Oh, come on, Warners. You got to get on this
That's
Bebo.
An easy one. Bebo's an easy one.
Did you watch... I mean, I don't want to... We can't spoil it on the show because some people in other countries like Australia and England don't have Disney Plus yet. But Mandalorian, have you been watching it?
I watched the first episode, yeah.
Okay, I'm in love with it. Totally caught up. But this Baby Yoda thing...
Yeah.
Supposedly, Disney said we are not doing Baby Yoda merchandise before the release of the... I mean, now they're going to do it, but they didn't want to spoil the existence of Baby Yoda before the release of Disney Plus in the U.S., Now that basically
the internet
50% of the memes... I mean, I was annoyed by 50% of the memes spoiling Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But now that the total, the secret is out, they're now claiming that they're going to get...
middle-aged yoga.
They're now claiming that Baby Yoda is going to be everywhere by Christmas. So that's a month.
Wow.
And be ready to be annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
For sure.
I don't think I'll be annoyed because I love the character so much, but... we'll see. I know I want something Baby Yoda for the episode. If you're listening, Geekscapist, it is...
do you have a wish list on Geekscapist?
A couple things, Geekscapist. December 5th is my birthday. That's this week.
Oh!
We are celebrating at the Woodman at 7:30 here on Ventura Boulevard. If you're listening to this, including Adam Sheckman, you're invited.
Wow,
come hang
thank
out.
You.
Geekscapist, if you listen, come hang out. If you want to bring a Baby Yoda something, I guess it has to be made. You know what? Don't bring a Baby Yoda thing. Bring a Bebo thing.
Yeah.
Bring me one of those things.
Bebo.
Oh, does Gary Green have an action figure? Or does Gary Green have like merchandise or anything like that?
No, not yet. There's this.
Because Arrow and all those
artist.
Guys have like action figures.
Yeah,
they all
yeah.
have action figures.
We have like indie, really cool. So there's this amazing artist. She's got a business called Atomic Octopus, and she makes like custom Funko Pop dolls. So she made one and sent me one, which was amazing, super nice.
That's Thanks awesome.
Jordan, she's fantastic. She's super cool. Makes T-shirts, makes amazing logos, and like fantastic, really cool.
And her stuff is online. Her name is Atomic Octopus.
Atomic Octopus, yeah. I think it's Atomic Octopus Designs.
But Google that.
Yeah,
just Google that. And
yeah,
you'll find it.
It's a great name too. Atomic Octopus.
She got it. Don't try and steal it.
No,
dude, that sounds perfect. Okay, cool. So there is some Gary Green stuff for you. I'm going to go to Atomic Octopus, and I'm going to go buy some Bebo stuff.
Anyway. Yeah, as you should. Bebo's way cuter than Gary Green.
You're
I'm
cute.
Kidding. Gary Green is so cute.
The narratives on the show, do you have like a romantic interest on the show? Or I mean, because he's a guy looking for love. Do they resolve that?
So
no spoilers.
He is a virgin on the show, which is important for the nipple
episode. At this point, I now think you guys are pandering at the audience. At this point, I'm like, you know what?
He's still surfing the sexual spectrum. He likes men. He likes women. He likes whoever will like him back.
whatever it takes.
He's like a puppy. He just wants to love and is just waiting for someone to love him back.
What?
Like a golden retriever puppy.
Okay. Inside the actor studio question. How much of the character is the character and how much of it is Adam Sheckman?
Yeah, I'm also a virgin. and I'm looking for love. So yeah, absolutely.
But honestly, as your friend, like, what do you find accessible to that character as an actor? What are the things you share similar?
I think I'm often the guy who's like, no, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. I'm always the guy who's like, I'm not gonna like ski down that mountain. I'm naturally, I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to like taking on Mother Nature or like something that's like big.
Right.
Another person, whatever. But if that person is flying and shooting lasers, I'm hiding behind the car.
Of course.
Yeah. So I totally identify with him.
With the scary Geekscape, to put it in perspective, last time I saw Adam before today, he was playing basketball, pickup basketball, and he was wearing a mouth guard. So, like, who does that?
That's right. And by the way,
do you wear? I mean, you always wear.
Every time I play basketball.
Well, considering your face is your profession.
Well, my uncle and my best friend are both dentists. My best friend, me and him, have played basketball the most out of everyone, and he has made me custom mouth guards, and. I think it's crazy that not everyone wears one when they play basketball. There's like errant elbows all the time. And in fact, I played
How
in Toronto.
Are you?
I played in Wait Toronto a few months ago, and the guy I played against was like ready to get in a fight with me because he was so offended that I would wear a mouth guard. I was
Wait,
like,
really?
What is wrong with you, dude? Like, so, what do you care?
Okay, to not get your teeth knocked out, you wear a mouth guard, which then provoked this guy to try and knock your teeth out. Do you see the irony in this?
It was absurd.
Do you see the problem?
There was crazy irony, but also
he was pissed at you for wearing a mouth guard.
He found it, he's like, and he was also angry that I was like smiling while I was playing. I wasn't doing it
you
in like a
smiling,
teasy way.
You weren't smiling, your teeth were being, your face was being like,
no, but I'm generally
by the mouth guard.
I'm a very warm opponent in sports, so I will, if I'm playing against you and you do something good, I will give you props.
Yeah.
Oh, nice shot. Nice.
Because we're not in the NBA.
That's right.
Like,
this guy's behaving like his livelihood will be affected if he loses to me. And he was losing, and it was to him, it was like, oh, you find this funny? Oh, you need to wear a mouth guard?
You're cheating if you're wearing a mouth guard.
What a douche.
You distract me. Yeah, I don't know about that.
He tried to bully me. But Geekscapers... I wasn't having it. Escapists.
We're escaping from from reality.
so it was the first escape.
You know what? I say that I have taken a lot of elbows, but that's. I think you're more likely to get.
It's part of the game, bro. Well, if you lose your teeth, you lose your fucking teeth.
I think you're more likely to get injured if you play at our level with people who, majority of the time, they don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
They don't know where to stand. They don't know where to put their limbs. And
I mean,
I've been guilty of it.
I could step on a foot and sprain my ankle. That's common.
That's part of it.
But it's not hard for me to wear a mouth guard.
I once saw Joel Murray, you know, Bill Murray's brother, Joel Murray. He was in Mad Men, a lot of stuff. I used to play with him and a group of guys down by the Fox studio. And I saw him catch an elbow in the face and it split his lip.
Ooh.
And he's an older dude, but he's a tough son of a bitch. And I remember him stepping off the court and I was like, oh man, he's gonna get irate. And he took a minute, he split his lip, there was blood fucking coming down his face. And he comes back on the court. The game obviously wasn't over, and we kind of gave him a minute. He came back, he collected himself, and he goes, God damn it, I make money with this thing. All right, let's play.
Yeah.
I was like, dude. I mean, he's still bleeding and everything. I'm like, you sure you don't want to
hardcore
pass that out? He was a good dude.
Joel
Murray was a
tough
dude. You don't always get that at these pickup games. No. You get a foul. Yeah. Got it. Foul. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You get blown on and these people are babies.
There's a lot of babies.
I know, they wear mouth guards.
and proud of it. I also, by the way, Geekscapists, I also desperately believe in wearing earplugs when I go to loud bars and concerts. Always wear earplugs.
Yes.
People should be wearing earplugs.
The concerts, for sure. You'll lose your hearing.
I don't understand. I always bring extra earplugs because I'm a classy fellow. And I always offer them to friends, and they look at me like I'm a fucking idiot. They're like, what? Yeah. I don't need earplugs. Am I not a wimp? I'm like, what are you?
You want to lose your hearing? No, I've had like ringing in my ears after a concert and realizing that that is hearing loss. Do you offer them to strangers is my question. No. That's what, no, come on.
I have.
Yes. Come on.
I have, but I'm not seeking out strangers. Hey, do you
want to? Listen, how long have you been dating? You dating somebody?
Yeah.
Can you talk about it on the show?
Sure.
How long has that been going on? How long has that been going on?
It's been going on a little bit.
Before, so. Yes. Is what I'm talking about. Before the relationship, could that have been a pickup thing at a concert to walk over and be like,
I've never used it.
Come on, man.
I've never used it.
Think about that. You walk over and be like, hey, I'm a good dude. I care. And you hand them the earplug. You know pretty quickly if she thinks you're a total pussy.
It's true. But I'll tell you, I think like,
are you a wuss? Are you
a wuss?
Yeah.
Then if you overcome that with being proud of your wussiness, that's very charming, I feel like.
Okay.
Oh, look at this guy. He cares about his hearing and he's like weirdly happy and giving out earplugs. Look at this. He's the earplug Robin Hood? No.
You'd be Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed.
You'd be the person planting care into people's ears.
Beautiful.
I think that's the one you're looking for.
Johnny Apple Ear.
You see, you went to Wharton. I went to the Arts and Sciences.
Yes.
I went over there. I'm like, let's learn how to think in
tell
pictures.
A story. It's very
in
important.
Pictures and words.
Beautiful.
yeah, the listeners are like, then why aren't you doing it now?
I was thinking the same thing. But I'm the
listeners are like, how long? They're like, oh, well, we are also putting on earplugs right now. Like Adam, we are protecting
to the listeners
ears from
who
this.
Fallen asleep. Wake the fuck up!
Are you enjoying your time at Geekscape?
I'm having a great time. It's very
well. The thing
here.
Is, Geekscapists, and I'm kind of shanghaied you. Adam and I are just using you guys as an excuse to catch up.
Yeah,
it's been a minute, bro.
Been a minute.
It has been a minute, but I've been happy for you watching you from afar doing this whole thing.
Not watching Legends of Tomorrow.
Not watching, bro. Watching Mandalorian. You got to get on Mandalorian.
Yeah, I will.
You got to play like an Ewok or something.
I also really like, I've only watched two episodes, but I really like The Watchmen. That show's awesome.
I got to catch up to Watchmen.
It's really cool.
I got to catch up on that. I heard that the episode 6 was like the one.
Oh.
Where everybody's like, holy crap.
I'm already in. I'm like, this world is cool. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I like it.
I got to tell you, I did approach it with a bit of cynicism because I think Watchmen.
Because you're a purist?
No, I think Watchmen's great. I think that it's not the best thing to recommend a brand new comic book reader. Mm. Like, if you're a new comic book reader, I'm not giving you something as dense and dependent on the comic book medium as Watchmen.
Interesting.
It's about many things, one of which is the history of comic books. And it's a really dense piece. So, I would not give Watchmen to a new comic book reader. Is it worth appreciating?
That's not me. I grew up on ElfQuest, so I don't
know. Don't fuck with me. but I would give them something if it comes out of DC, I always love Superman Man for All Seasons, which is Jeff Loeb's book that he did with Tim Sale. Jeff Loeb ran Marvel TV for a while. Recently left Marvel TV. And he's a great writer, and he did a really great Superman story called Superman Man for All Seasons, which was a lot like Smallville, when you think of like the reference Smallville.
Did he have different Superman outfits for the different seasons?
No, but I don't think he becomes Superman until the... It's really about Clark on the Kent farm.
That's cool.
And how he became him.
I identify with Clark.
I do too. And I got to tell you, the one thing that has got me wanting to go back to Legends of Tomorrow and what I've kind of been intimidated by... because it's going to make me as a purist want to go back and watch all the Arrow and the Flash and the Supergirl and all this stuff is this five-part crisis, which you may or may not be involved in, this five-part crisis stuff, when they start releasing photos of Tom Welling returning
and
Brandon Routh as a freaking Kingdom Come Superman, and you start seeing... Kevin Conroy as Kingdom Come Batman. They start spoiling this stuff with all these photos from Crisis. It looks amazing. I'm so stoked for really Crysis.
Cool. I always wonder, like, why did they pre-release it? But I guess it's causing this.
Oh, it makes people like me who bailed
after
a couple years
want to watch it again.
Absolutely go back and watch it. I'm super excited about Crysis. I think that that everything I'm seeing from it.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It looks amazing. And I don't know if Gary Green is a part of it, but I'm saying that Bebo should be. Anyway.
I hope Bebo is. I also hope Gary is.
I tried to make you some money there. You hear that? I tried to make you some money. Or at least the guy who animates Bebo. I think that's the one I want to watch, is the Crysis thing.
And then you'll roll in. The last episode of the Crysis is technically the first episode of Legends, but the first episode starts the next week.
Okay, wait.
So the fifth hour of Crysis?
I need a chart. Hold up. I need a chart.
Okay.
First hour of Crysis is...
I'm
like,
not sure.
Like one of those...
Flash or Arrow. Or
okay.
Supergirl.
Okay, but Arrow is ending after Crysis? Is Crysis the finale of Arrow?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be sad to see that, because Arrow is obviously the one that started.
Sure.
And I thought Arrow was awesome.
It is the Arrowverse.
Arrow is awesome. You do call it the Arrowverse. Yeah. Okay, we will now call it the Gary Greenverse. The Greenverse. That is law. Okay, or the Beboverse.
You hear that? Geekscapists?
The Beboverse.
The Beboverse. That is better.
Okay, so the first hour of the five part is Flash or Arrow. I'm guessing the second one is like... Supergirl or Flash or Arrow?
Yeah, and then Batwoman, and last is Legends.
But is there Black Lightning? Oh, no. Those are the fives.
Those are the five.
How's Batwoman? I haven't watched Batwoman.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Okay, so Batwoman.
I know that it's been a difficult shoot process because they shoot a lot of outdoors at night.
There's a lot of night shoots. The crazy thing about the night shoots in cities is buildings turn off and go home, so you got to go around and like pay the night man to like keep the lights on.
That is wild.
Because I mean, think about it. Like,
and they have to, I assume, shoot on top of buildings.
You shoot on top of buildings.
Got to be like,
and it doesn't help when a lot of buildings turn their lights off at night.
I'm surprised by that, because usually like cityscapes keep their lights on.
Some of them. I think more so now, but I remember a former Geekscape guest, Gary Johnson. His name is Gary Johnson. I believe he was the director of Steel. Do you remember the movie Steel with Shaquille O'Neal playing Steel?
Yeah.
He was also the creator of V and Alien Nation.
Oh, cool.
And awesome. His name is not Gary Johnson. I'll have to go back and find him. But he was also the showrunner on Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno.
Awesome
guest. And good friend. He used to come in and lecture for me when I would teach film. He would come in and talk about how to make things on a budget. And one of his tactics was, in downtown LA, when they were shooting things like Alien Nation at night, and they were doing nighttime rooftop stuff, he's the guy who, even though it barely rains in LA, he was telling us to go and wet the streets anyway, because, you know, on TV you always see the streets wet and everything, and you're like, in Los Angeles it never rains, but it always looks like it has rained, because if you wet the streets, you see the reflections of the lights, and it adds depth and production value. So they would wet the streets, so you get the reflections of the lights in the street. So he remembers sending PAs out one night to go to all the doormen, knock on the windows of these skyscrapers, because LA had less skyscrapers back then, about 30 years ago, and he would give the guys a 20 to just go and turn the lights back on the floor, so that there's depth of field in the shots. It's not just a bunch of black buildings that are blotting out the stars and this and that, and you can actually see depth to the city. So a little tactic there. I don't think Vancouver has that problem. If I remember Vancouver, it had a pretty awesome night. I mean Metropolis. I meant Metropolis?
Where Gotham.
Gotham? I meant like any of the DC cities.
Yeah. But Batwoman's
Coast,
Gotham,
city.
I think.
She's somewhere. I mean, how many bats do you need in Gotham?
I think she's Gotham, because we share a studio with them, and I've seen cars that say, like, police cars that say Gotham.
Yeah, I'm thinking the bats are kind of the problem at Gotham at this point.
Yeah, what is up
like,
with
at
that?
At what point are you guys actually going to clean it up? Like,
although, you know, bats get a bad rap.
They get a bad rap. Metropolis is clean. Look at Gotham. It looks like a toilet. Yeah, what do they have? What's the difference? They both have villains.
The government of Gotham is probably a little more corrupt.
Okay,
is there more corruption
but
there?
Unlike Metropolis,
right? What's going on with the Metropolis government? What are they doing?
They've got a billionaire in Lex, and Gotham has a billionaire and Bruce, I guess one of them isn't funding in the infrastructure or the political infrastructure of that city. You're telling me that Lex is doing a better job of investing
in... Lex is better at governing his people.
He's better at helping Metropolis than Bruce is. Bruce is like, no, I'm just going to build a tank and go punch some people.
Does Lex have, like, does he have ownership in some of the sanitation companies? Is he getting, like, the sanitation...
A little kickback?
Yeah. Does he have all the garbage companies, all the road building companies?
The
building companies. Where is he making his money?
Metropolis is spotless.
So maybe...
Gotham looks like an earthquake hits it every week.
So he might just be a clean freak.
And Batman is just like, I don't care.
He just doesn't care.
I'm going to build a tank and punch a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to think Bruce is a problem.
And don't you think Gotham just needs like more like just city lights? Just more like lighting. Just streets should be brighter.
I don't think the sunlight hits Gotham.
So they need more lights.
I think Gotham is like that town in Alaska where sunlight only hits it for an hour.
That sucks.
You know what I mean? What is it like? It's like Dower, Alaska, or there's a town in Alaska that sunlight only hits it for like an hour or something. And I think that is Gotham because that place is dark and they need a little bit of help. Could you imagine walking to your car in Gotham? You don't walk to your car.
Fuck no.
Do you
That's
walk
the
to your
one
car?
Place I'll valet. I'm not going to valet anywhere else. I'll valet
I
Gotham.
Would walk to my car in Gotham if I was dressed like a bat. Like, that is the only way I'm
totally.
Going. That's the only way you're walking to your car in Gotham, because the whole place is dark. It's like stranger danger across the board in Gotham. No wonder Bruce's trans got
shot. Do you
think
you might attract criminals, though, if you wear that? Like, they're testing out to see... No, because they just don't want to fuck with Batman at all. If there is, like, a 5% chance...
No, they do want to fuck with Batman. There's so many supervillains in Gotham. They don't care about him. He's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know he's not going to use a gun. That's a plus. You know Bruce isn't going to use a gun.
Yeah.
Right? My parents were killed by a gun. Yeah. And you know the worst thing that's going to happen is that they're going to send you to the revolving door of Arkham Asylum. You'll be out in 2 days. Somebody's going to blow the back door out or the back wall out and you'll escape. Or they'll just let you loose because it employs people like Harley Quinn. So, you know, the facilities are trash. They're not invested in by Wayne Enterprises. No, like Wayne Enterprises could probably fix that city with a check. And instead, he's like, I think I want to build a tank. Lucius and I are going to... take a bunch of money from my publicly traded company and we're just going to embezzle and build a tank instead. It's like, no, Bruce, you're the problem. Bruce, you are the problem with Gotham.
This is crazy.
Well, think about it. The evidence is right there. You don't want to walk home in Gotham. No wonder your parents got shot, Bruce. They left the house. Like, if you leave the house in Gotham, chances are you going to get shot.
But is Bruce in charge of, like...
If you're the richest man in the city, who are you up against?
Yeah, but, like, does the richest man pay for, like, cleaning up the streets
and police?
He can
invest in the infrastructure. Or at least build a school, all right, pal? Like, instead, he's, like, putting his money in, like, a bunch of
toys. He should build a
school.
I agree with that.
Definitely build a school. Definitely fix the asylum. All right? That asylum's a joke.
Does he own the asylum?
Listen, he can invest in it. It's I don't know. It's probably... Who's Arkham? I don't know. It's in the comics. I didn't read that far. You know, and then...
Geekscapist, owns the asylum?
And obviously,
yes.
He can donate to local politicians.
That's fine, but he probably is like, look, they're not going to deal with crime like I will.
No, or he was probably like, last person I bagged got acid splashed on his face and became a villain. Yeah, you know, it's like my friend Harvey, like I helped fund his campaign and then they splashed acid on him and now I have to punch him in the head every week.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not investing in you guys anymore. And next thing you know, I have to punch you guys. Keep you from robbing a bank and running away.
So Metropolis is the place to be. Do you think... I feel like, what is the, like, theater scene in Gotham? Like, where is real estate more expensive?
Actor thing I've ever heard on the show. What the hell? Wait.
What's the theater scene like in Gotham?
Okay,
is it like New York? Is it like Times Square?
I think the artists in Gotham are much better because the real estate is, like, nasty. Because they had the cataclysm. They had that earthquake. So first off, like, Gotham is trash. Like, you can...
Really?
Yeah, it's like Detroit. I mean, no offense, Detroit. But, like, Gotham has got to not have expense. And these real estate cannot be expensive in Gotham. Metropolis has the nicer real estate because crime is probably lower because they're like, oh, fuck that. I'm not committing a crime. They've got this god that can just fry my limbs off from orbit if I do this.
Right.
I mean, Superman doesn't kill them. I mean, he might maim a little bit. You know, he blows on you. You're
Does
going
he
to
never
the wall.
Kill?
The whole thing with Batman... In soups is that they don't kill. You can argue that Superman killed Zod by putting him in the pocket universe and exposing him to that weird-ass kryptonite that killed him, right? Because he had to, because Zod was like, I'm going to keep coming until I destroy your planet. Would he kill something like Brainiac? Yeah, Brainiac would just... What is Brainiac? Brainiac is like some weird sentient consciousness, right? And plus he, like, hard imprisoned the people sentient. Of Kandor. So you can go as far as you want into whether or not Superman Deep kills. Bro. Superman Deep. Has Superman has killed. Did he like it? Hell no. It fucked him up. It fucked him up. But he's done it. Has Bruce killed? Hell no. Bruce is like, I will never touch a gun.
I've got
a... Unless it's a Zack Snyder movie. Then admirable. I'll touch a gun.
It's admirable.
In the Snyder cut, Bruce has like a million guns. Or if Frank Miller's in charge, he has a gun. But that's about it. Hmm. Are you learning a lot about the DC verse that you call home, Gary Green?
I am.
Hey,
I am.
Man.
Thank you.
Anytime you need
for being an expert.
Well, listen, regardless of how many excellent writers you guys have on your show.
A gexpert?
If you need anything, if you're like, hey, Jonathan, I feel like the writers are lying to me.
Okay. I'll come to you.
What would really happen? Okay. Then I can be like, hey, listen, let's talk. Let's check on the side. Okay. You need any like motivation for your character or anything?
Yes.
I'm getting you fired. No, do not. Do not put my into my ego. Do not. Okay. Listen, Geekscapists. We've exploited his time enough. Listen.
It was a pleasure.
It's been fun. But you got to get back to work because at the end of Legends of Tomorrow, at the end of Crisis, you got Legends of Tomorrow coming out.
That's right, baby.
And you got to get back to work. So is it true what you told me off the record with Gary Green getting killed this season? Is it true that Gary Green gets ripped in half in the first episode?
He gets ripped in half. He gets chopped up into little pieces. He gets eaten, but then there's this special. He learns he's sort of an amateur warlock, and so while being chewed up, he creates a spell which saves his body.
Is that something that John Constantine taught him?
Gary is kind of they're boys, you know. They're
He's like, John Constantine, what was your narrative again? Is he's getting eaten and chopped up? What was that dumb thing you just said? The listeners are like, anything over the last hour has been the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I feel like that scene in Billy Madison where it's like, I award you 0 points and may God have mercy on your soul.
Oh, man.
Listen, dude.
I disagree. I think the listeners will be just having a ball of a time.
They're going to be refreshed. That you're not doing sound bites.
Yes.
Prepared sound bites. You're just off the cuff. We're just hanging as boys.
Totally.
Like we always done.
I don't have any prepared sound bites.
And they're refreshed that this is going to get you fired. And then they don't.
Great.
Yeah. No.
Great. I had a great time as a Geekscaper.
I'm kidding. Geekscapists, go seek out Americanistan because this guy's going to need a paycheck very quick after we just got him fired. I'm kidding. So Geekscapists, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do, Geekscapists. You're going to follow this guy on social media at...
Tseky. Tseky. Like the jelly.
On the Twitter.
On the Instagram.
On the Instagram.
On all of them.
On all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
On all of them.
I don't tweet that much, though. I'm more of a grammar.
I find that a nasty environment.
It's a little bit nasty. It's a lot of pressure. I don't know.
Do I have to be funny? Do I not have to be
exactly.
funny?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just...
I agree with you. Post the stupid picture. It's more fun.
I agree with you 100%. So follow him on Instagram at the second.
And Twitter, if you want.
Go to the Twitter. Just don't expect a lot. All right. You can follow Geekscape on all of those things. Join us on Facebook at the Geekscape Forever group or go to Geekscape on Facebook and just be part of the conversation.
Geekscape Forever!
The other thing you can do is follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Search for us. We got all sorts of other podcasts. Matt Kelly's adding a podcast a week, it seems like, on our podcast network. So
aren't you offering free t-shirts for each new follower?
I'm going to cut you. I'm going to cut your face. I will remove your face. I will be
calm. He just showed me a box filled with t-shirts. I was like, who are these for?
It's also filled with faces. I'm like Darkman. I'm going to become you. I will then go to Vancouver and I will be the Gary Green.
Wow.
I'm going to remove your face. I will wear your face as a mask.
Do I get your face?
No, you die.
That's not fun for
no,
me.
No, it sucks. It fucking sucks. But it's fine.
By the way, listeners, the look on his face suggested that he's experienced. No, it sucks. I've been there.
No, I've been back from death. I, too, am a fan of the arcane arts. I, too, am friends with John Constantine, who will come back from hell.
Yes.
So listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to follow us on social. The other thing you're going to do is you're going to come to Comic-Con next
July 2020.
That's right. You're going to come July 2020. You're going to hang out with Seki here.
The 46th annual San Diego Comic.
That's what, we're past 50 at this point. I think it's the 51st. I think this is actually the 51st.
Oh, really?
You're going to hang with us. And then the other thing is, if you're in LA this Thursday,
yeah,
you're just going to come to my birthday party.
Yeah, the Woodman.
And honestly, what I said at the top of the show, December 12th, the typewriter.
Yeah, theater. You said the Telegraph earlier. It's the typewriter.
It's the Dynasty Typewriter.
Is the name
Go
of
to comedyfilmnerds.com. Get a ticket to
Telegraph.
The last Comedy Film Nerd show at the Dynasty Typewriter in Koreatown. You're going to want to see me on stage with my friends. Saying
That's
goodbye
awesome.
To
that
our
place is amazing.
I love the Dynasty Typewriter.
What a vibe. What a community.
It's a very Fantastic. Cool place. So come watch that. And of course, Geekscape, as you can find us here every week, talking to friends like Adam, Gary Green, Sekman. Dude, it was good to reconnect with you at the expense of the Geekscape listeners, but you know what?
Man, sorry, guys.
At some point, you got
to
do...
Sorry to record the best podcast you've ever heard.
When you do them for 13 years, after a while, you got to start doing them for yourself. So
beautiful.
Geekscapist, I love you.
Finally having me on. Jesus.
The next episode will be a little more coherent. And hit that subscribe button. Or if you think this was hilarious, share it with your friends. This is the...
Which of course they will. Why wouldn't they?
I'm just going to drink my tea like Baby Yoda and say Geekscapist, Geekscape forever, over and out.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.